would like to thank Aaron and Jacob Lewis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'ilu and Ishmael, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we have today half of a Mishnah to do. We did the first half last week. The second half presumably has nothing to do with the first half, so we're not even going to review the first half, but if anybody wanted to look at it and have any insight, feel free to share after the shiur. But let's just jump straight in to our Mishnah. Source number one, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says the following. And as we read this, I want us to think about what the Torah's viewpoint of nature is. Does the Torah care about nature? Is the Torah against nature? Is the Torah indifferent towards nature? And then also think about in terms of concentration, our ability to focus, what the message of the Mishnah is. So Rabbi Shimon says the following. Hamahalach baderech b'shona, somebody who's walking on the way and he is learning. Umafsik mimishnaso, and he pauses, he stops from his learning, ba'omer, and he says as follows. Ma na'a ilan zeh, how beautiful is this tree. Ma na'a nir zeh, how beautiful is this plowed field. The pasuk equates this person as if they are culpable for the death penalty, if you will. So, a little bit extreme, and we've spoken about in the past, sometimes the Mishnayos take an extreme punishment to prove a point. But the point here, whether or not you're actually literally chayav in the death penalty or not, is that there's obviously a ke'ilu, so even in the Mishnah itself, it hedges a little bit, and it says ke'ilu, it's as if, right? So, it's obviously there's something wrong here. There's a problem for somebody who's learning, stopping, appreciating the beauty of nature. And the question is, why? Right? What's wrong with nature? Isn't nature God's creations? Isn't it nice to appreciate nature, to go to the Met, to have a nice tour, to appreciate art? It might be a little bit different than nature, right? But why is this so terrible for me to say, there's a beautiful tree, those are beautiful flowers, right? Now, if you want to make a very close reading, let's be annoying about this, we're going to reread the Mishnah, and I want us to ask, basically on almost every word, why this concept or word was chosen. So number one, Hamahalech Baderech Vishona. So somebody who is, first of all, walking. Okay, so what if I'm sitting? I don't know, maybe that's too annoying of a question. Right? I'm on the Derech and I'm learning. So what if I'm sitting in a base medrash and I'm learning? Right? And then somebody, and I look out the window and there's a nice tree. Or somebody brings in flowers, it's Shavuos, and I say, that's beautiful flowers for Shavuos. Right, so why is this Hamahalach Baderech Vishona, that I'm walking on the road and I am learning? And then continuing, Umafsik Mimishnaso. So I pause, I stop. Ve'omer. So what's Ve'omer? Why not, what if I just think it? Right, why not Ve'choshev? And I think, in my head, I will verbalize it now only because you won't know what I'm thinking if I don't verbalize it. But, and I think to myself, that's a beautiful tree. Is that a problem? Or is it just Ve'omer? I say it. And then, ma'na ilan zeh, ma'na inir zeh, the trees, the plowed fields. So obviously we give two examples. So the fact that we give two examples, does that mean those two examples? Can it be other things? Again, what about animals? What about art? Human-made things? Does that count? And then, ma'ala alav hakasuv, the pasuk treats you as if, ke'ilu, you are mischayav ben asho, as Rabbi Shloni points out already, it's ke'ilu, it's not exactly. But what's the pasuk? Right? It says ma'ale alav hakasuv. The pasuk considers it as if you're chayv misa. But then there's no pasuk. They don't quote a pasuk. There's no verse. I'm saying the verse says like this. You got to figure out what I'm talking about. So go through Tanakh, and when you find a verse that may or may not allude to what I'm trying to say, you know that's what I'm saying. So it doesn't give you the verse. Why doesn't it give you the verse? In fact, because of that, there's some commentators that take out those words. Because, don't tell me, the verse says as if you did this, and then don't give me a verse. It must be that there was a mistake. There's no verse. I'm just thinking, I'm just logically assuming that this is really bad. It's as if you were mischayav ben asher, but there's actually no verse that I can hang my hat on. But, at the end of the day, our version does say the pasuk, so we'll have to see, either this week or next week, what pasuk are we actually talking about. So starting off now, let anybody have any other insights or questions from the Mishnah? Yeah, fine.
If the fact that it says Umanya and Mirza, doesn't that indicate that he has to say both of them? In other words, not just one or the other, but he says both of them.
Okay, so Chaim's point is that Uma can mean and, or it could also mean or. So if it meant and, you were right, you'd have to say both. Presumably it doesn't mean that, only because that would just be a little bit, I think, too specific, right? You have to say both of these things in order to be chayav nafshu. If that's the case, then your homework is to find out what's so bad about saying both of these things together. But if you said both either of them separately, then you're okay. Yeah, Rachel.
I don't know if you're looking for an answer, but when I read this, I think that there's a concern about Avodah Zarah. So these are the two items that they worshipped. It was either a tree, Asherah, and actually they're both. In other words, the whole problem of when idol worship started was the idea that they looked at nature and then they attributed powers to it.
Okay, good point. Maybe there's some allusion here to Avodah Zarah, to idol worship. I would just ask you then, and it's a rhetorical question for now because we'll address it, is then why is it only learning and stopping? It should just be anybody who says this, that's really problematic, right? So if it's an Avodah Zarah problem, then I don't care about learning at that point. It's just you say how beautiful is this tree, that's really bad because there might be Avodah Zarah related to it. Then you have to sort of account for why is it that I'm learning. And the other thing, I'm just going to broaden your point, is that really the issue here? Is this a nature problem? Is this a problem that we have with Jews towards nature because of the history of Avodah Zarah? Right, so now, absent Avodah Zarah, let's say, what should I be thinking about when it comes to nature now? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Does the Torah want me to do it? Does it not want me to do it? Or stay away from it because it's Avodah Zarah? Yeah. When it says Hakasuv, it would be strange for him to be saying, "I say that you are chayav b'nafsho." It would be a strange way of formulating it. Usually, the answer is yes. Usually, when it says the kasuv, the verse is telling you there's an actual verse in Tanakh that we're referring to. I'm not aware of any other times where it says that and it's not referring to a verse. Okay, one last point, and then we're going to move on. Yeah.
Based on something that I read on yesterday's parsha, where the word derech also appears. Yaakov uses the word derech, and there's one parish that says it's talking the same way we use the word derech, on the derech, off the derech. And how that is a very funny way to say walking. Grammatically, it's Hebrew. It's not. It should be, in a different tense. So if you say the Mahalach, the derech, maybe it's somebody who's teaching people about the derech. So if you're trying to teach somebody what the proper derech is, this is not the time to stop and look at nature.
Okay, so you're flipping it a little bit to read it that it's not just me learning, it's me teaching.
Yeah.
Okay, that I hear. I will defer to the grammarians to figure out if that makes sense or not. But hold on. Hold questions for a few minutes, and then let's see some sources. Okay, so I think we have enough to keep going now. So look at source number two, the Me'iri. And as we read the Me'iri, I want us to be thinking about how does he understand the main message of the Mishnah? And then in the background, how does he also understand how the Torah views the concept of nature? So the Me'iri says, source number two, Rabbi Shimon Omer HaMahalik, Vashone Umafsik, HaKavana. The message, the meaning is as follows. HaKavana LaHa'ir, De'ein Lifsok Medivrei Torah Letzorach Iske HaZman, Rach Lefi Atzorach HaHechrachi. You should not stop from learning Torah for transient purposes, for things that don't have any eternal point to them, only if it's essential. So he's not saying you can never stop learning. Sometimes you have to stop learning. You got to make a living. You got to do something that's important. You have to do a mitzvah. You have to do chesed. You have to take care of your kids, whatever it is. Take care of your parents. Doesn't matter. That's essential. Is it essential that I pause to praise nature? No, it's not essential according to the Me'iri's reading here. V'afilu kishiyagia atzorech. And even when something is essential, lo yatir la'atzmo lahapsik l'sicha b'teila, then, okay, so now I have to go do something. That's essential. But on the way, I take a little break. I schmooze with my friend. I talk a little bit here. I talk a little bit there. That's a problem too. And there's no purpose for me to do that. So now, the Meiri says, so far the message is one that we've seen numerous times in Pirkei Avos. What's the message? Learn as much Torah as possible. Don't break to learn to do other things. That's the message so far. So now the question is, so why is it a message when I'm mahalich b'derech? That message should be always. I should never stop learning. Unless it's essential. So why is it when I'm walking on the road? So he says, "V'amar shelo softa bar ba'osek b'mishnas keva." It's not just when you're sitting in the base medrash and you're in a shir and that's something that's established and permanent. Ve'en lo lahapsik l'iskei ha'olam. For sure, then you don't get up and take a phone call or do things for this or that, unless again it's essential. Ela afilu b'mishnas arai. Even if it's just a looser type of learning, it's a more happenstance type of learning. I'm on the train. I'm on the derech. I'm learning then, but it's not my set seder. It's not a set shir. Kigon b'hamalach b'derech lehechrech tzrachav. So I'm on the way. I'm taking an Uber somewhere. Vishona b'derech, and then I'm learning on the way, which is great. Taking advantage of my time. Vishona b'derech hilucho. Ein lo livsok mimena l'sicha b'tela. On those points in time where I'm not an established learning period, even in those times where it's more transient, then it's still a problem for me to stop to do something else. Vim asa ken, and if I do stop, malal abakasav kilu mischayev benafsho, kolomar ki ilu eino osek b'torah klal. So the pasuk treats it as if you're not learning at all, and somebody who's not learning at all is mischayev benafsho. That's a big problem. Al derech ha'emes, he says that's literal, right? So if you don't learn at all, the Meiri is saying literally you're mischayev benafsho, and that's in God's hands, not in people's hands. But if you don't learn at all, that's a huge problem. This is, you're learning, but you're stopping to learn. So you're not mischayev benafsho, but we treat it as if you're mischayev benafsho. We treat it as if you didn't take, you weren't learning at all. Batam shetivo shel adam nimshach. Now, so this is a very important psychological point here. Second to last line towards the end. Bahatam, what's the reason behind all this? Why do I need such a strong language and a strong formulation to say, don't stop learning? Vatam shetivo shel adam nimshach achar ha-havalim v'hasichos betelos. It's our nature to get distracted. It's our nature to want to talk about something that's really not that important. It's our nature that when we're doing something important like learning, to try to waste time. It's built in. You want to call it the Yetzirah or call it the Yetzirah? Human nature, whatever it is. It's built in that we're going to get distracted. So because of that, and because it pulls us, eventually you start a little bit, and you start wasting time a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, what's going to happen? You're not going to learn at all. Nothing, you're not going to do anything. And then it continues with something else that we're going to see later on. But here's his point. We are easily distractible creatures, therefore we have to stay on top of our game to be able to focus when we're learning, and not to get distracted by things that we can easily get distracted by. Try as hard as we can to stay focused. So main message is focus. What is he? What's his message about nature? Anything do you pull out here about nature?
No. That seems like you could stop for something like that because you're praying Hashem in a sense, but even that. No.
Well, he doesn't say that at all.
Okay, but
right?
even something as innocuous as nature, don't get distracted.
Correct, but I want to be very careful here because we're going to see a different source that's we're going to contrast this to. He doesn't say, wow, look how awesome nature is, and even then you can't stop. He treats nature as tevel. It's what's his name? It's geazman. It's a distraction. There's nothing inherently important about it. It's just one of those other things that are going to distract you, so don't get distracted. We're not there yet. Okay, all right. The Meiri doesn't take that approach. At least this, the way we're reading it right now, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh, nature's so awesome, but still you can't. It's like checking your phone. It's like anything else that just takes you away from what's essential, which is learning Torah. Yeah. Okay, just be careful because you're on the road to being Mischayev Benafsho.
Why?
Because we're learning Torah and you're stopping to say how great the nature is. Okay, fine. So we're getting there. All right, so the starting point is... the starting point is when I'm learning, don't get distracted by these crazy things like nature. Now, source number three is going to be the counterpoint to it to some extent. Look at the Bartanura. The Bartanura says here, Hu hadin l'chol sicha b'teila. So he points out that this idea of stopping is, it's not just to stop to praise nature, it's to stop to do anything. If you stop to do anything when you're learning, that's a problem. Ella, so why choose this example? Ella shedibar behove. It's giving you a realistic example. Shederach hochedrach and ledaber ben mesheroim beineyam, because it's natural for us that when we're on the road to say, oh, that's a nice tree, that's, look at that sunset, look at this, look at that, right? So we're driving in the car and we point out all the things that we see. It's natural for us to do it. So that's why it gives that example. But, again, it could apply, just like the Meiri said, if I'm sitting in a base medrash, and it could also apply if I'm not talking about nature, but I'm talking about something else. It's just an example, but we could apply it to other things in addition to that. V'yesh Omrim, he continues, Dashmi'inan Ravusa. There are those that say, no, I'm actually telling you a chiddush here. I'm telling you something novel. What's my novelty in this teaching? The apal gab da al yidei kein hu mevarech baruch shekacha lo ba'olamo. I'm saying I could say a bracha. How great is this thing that God created? Even though I could say a bracha on this beautiful creation, af al pikein ma'alin alav ki'ilu mischai b'napsho. Even though that's true, it's still terrible. It's still bad. Mipnei, why? Shehifsik mimishnaso. Because you stop learning. You're not learning. And you see a beautiful tree? Go say a bracha. We have brachos. Appreciate nature. Appreciate God. You're learning. It's a different level. Nature's nice. Nature's great. Leave it alone. Right. Leave it alone. You're learning. Who said?
No, because I was told that when you say like even a bracha, you should stop.
Right.
And you shouldn't be walking when you say a bracha. So I don't get the concept of walking.
Okay, so there's a little bit of a there's somewhat of a tension, and we saw this once before because we had a previous mission a few weeks ago that said that somebody who's mahalach b'derech yichidi, somebody who's walking along the road on their own, they have to learn Torah, and if they don't, it's also like mischai b'nafsho, similar language. And the tension there, as well as the tension here, could be, shouldn't I just be focusing on the road? Shouldn't I just be focusing on what I'm doing and not learning? Learning requires full attention, and I'm driving. Driving is different. So the question is, what does mean mahalach b'derech yichidi? So just mahalach b'derech. So I think it depends. It depends what we're talking about. If we are on a train and we don't actually have to do anything, then learn. Why can't you learn? Learn. If you're driving, don't learn. Right? There's a story of Rav Soloveitchik that he was driving once. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think it is. It depends. When I drive, I listen to while you tour, I listen to MP3s or whatever it is.
Does this apply for women
too? One second. So the story is Rav Soloveitchik was driving with his wife, and they got into an accident.
Oh no.
And he was learning in his head. He wasn't listening to a shir. He was just going through like a sugi in his head. And apparently his wife said, like, what? He's like, he forgot he was driving. Right? So for somebody who's that intense in their learning, okay, don't drive and learn at the same time. That's like drinking and driving, right? Don't learn and drive. But for the most part, I think the message is that if we're doing something where we're able to learn, learn. If you could concentrate on your learning, if you can review something, learn. Why not? What do you have to lose? You had something to gain. It's actually positive. And then if you're doing it and you stop, then that's bad. Right? So you're going to say, oh, so I'm not even going to start.
Excuse me,
I hear.
Does this apply for women as well?
Again, there's a similar motif that runs through all of these Mishnayos. The Mishnah was written by men for men. Now, the question is, it's definitely not as extreme. The way I like to look at all of these Mishnayos is that if the message is about learning, connecting to God, productivity, etc., then yes, it applies to women. Does it apply in as an extreme and intense fashion? No, It doesn't. So message for men is like on steroids. Message for women is this is important. Try to take advantage of your time. Try to appreciate the learning of Torah. And that's not the same as nature. Again, maybe somebody else will read that Mishnah different than me and say it has nothing to do with women. Women shouldn't learn Torah. Women shouldn't, whatever. Okay. It's a different... Different style, different shul. Yeah. Okay. Now, source number four. We're going to see the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel is going to quote his own opinion, and then he's going to quote three other, I think, pretty interesting opinions that have a slightly different spin. And as we go through them, think about the main themes. That is, how are we viewing nature? How are we viewing the concept of learning and distractions and focusing, etc.? Those are the two main parallel themes. So here we go. Medrash Shmuel, source number four. Efshali Lomar, Bios Kistam Drachim Becheska Sakana. So he's going to say something interesting. If you remember back to when we did the Mishnah that we just referred to, somebody who's Mahalich Bederech Yechidi, somebody's walking alone at night. So there were two ways of understanding that Mishnah. If you're walking alone at light and you're not learning Torah, it's like you're Mischayev Benavsho, it's like your life is in danger. What were the two main ways of reading that Mishnah? Anybody remember? Two main ways. Wasn't that long ago? Literally what? What was the...
dangerous thing.
Okay, so either there's a physical danger involved here, that you're not, because you're in a dangerous situation, the Torah is going to protect you from the mazikin, remember all that stuff? Right? It's going to protect you from all the dangerous things that can attack you. So the Torah is the protector. So if you're walking in a dangerous situation and you're not having this protector, that's bad. The other way was just, Torah is important. Learn as much Torah as possible. So we have the same thing in our Mishnah. Is our Mishnah telling us, as so far we've taught it, that it's just a matter of productivity, a matter of focus, a matter of learning as much as you can? Here the Medrash Shmuel says, source number four, Efshli Lomar Bioski Stam Drachim Becheska Sakana. No, it has to do with danger. Most roads are dangerous. V'zesha shona b'torah, hi mishmarto. The Torah is your protector. V'zesha hifsik avshuhu mishabeach elav yisparach baruch shekach lo ba'olamo. And this person that stops his learning, even though, like the Bartanura, even though he's praising God, afal pikein mischayev b'nafsho, he's still, there's some physical life-threatening danger here. Because the Satan is out to get you. When there's a dangerous situation, he's there. He's waiting to pounce. So if you're walking on the road, it's dangerous. It's inherently dangerous. What's your job when something's dangerous? Learn Torah to protect you. You stop, you're putting your hands back into the danger. You're losing your protection. So that's the way he learns it. But now, so what about now if I'm sitting in the base medrash? I'm in a controlled, protected environment. So is it that bad? So he says, no. Amnam liyoshev bebayis. You're at home. Not even the base medrash, you're at home. Because it's the road that's dangerous. Home, in theory, is safe. Liyoshev bebayis avon kal kezeh. This simple sin. Still a sin. But it's a light sin. This, what's the light sin? The fact that you're stopping and doing this easy sin of praising God, right? Don't stop the sentence there, right? You're this easy sin of praising God, it's you're not mischayev b'nafsho. Ein ze mischayev b'nafsho. V'alkein nakat mahalch b'derech v'lo nakat stam. It's not so bad. It's bad, it's a sin, but it's not so bad. So when you're learning in your house, no danger, focus, you get unfocused, at least your life's not in danger. Right? So this is the way he's understanding this Mishnah is just physical threat. Torah protects you from physical threat. When you're in a place of intense physical threat and you stop learning, you're literally putting your life in the hands of the Satan that's mekatzerig, ready to pounce. You're home, a little bit safer, okay, it's bad, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. Okay, good. So we'll see that flip soon. But you could understand it that way too. But remember, that's not his approach. His approach here is not the importance of learning. his approach here is the importance of safety. Right? If you took the approach that, of the importance of learning, then I hear you. Then flip it. Say that learning, you get distracted at home, right? That's bad. You get distracted because there's 50,000 different things going on at the same time. You have flashing lights and signs and people trying to get you to buy this and that and the other thing. Okay, that's not as bad. But that's not his approach. His approach is danger. And because of danger, that's why it's flipped. Yeah.
So practically speaking, how do you put something like that into actuality? What, you're supposed to, like, take tefillah adera the entire time you're traveling? And
well, tefillah, so that's an interesting question. What, he didn't say anything here about tefillah adera.
Right, I know.
So is tefillah, how would you approach tefillah adera? Right, is tefillah sadera learning or is it a tefillah? Right, so if you're learning Torah and you're mafsik to say tefillah sadera, you know, how does that work? Now, when you say tefillah sadera, they do throw in psukim in there, and those psukim that they quote have to do, I believe, with levels of protection, right? So that whole concept there is protection. So I would say the answer is when you're driving, when you're out on the road, you should be listening to a shir. What? That's the answer. You should be listening to a shir. Okay. Now that's his first approach. Number two, now he quotes the second paragraph here, is Rav Matisyahu HaYitzhari. So he says as follows. Kasav Hamahalech Baderach Vishona Umafsik. His here Beichlus Ha'iyun. What are we talking about here? Not about physical danger. We're talking about quality of learning. Quality of learning. She'im yishtadol yishtamesh b'chushav b'inyanim ha'chumrim ba'odshu ma'ayin dvarim she'inam me'inyan iyuno yisbalbalu kochosav ha'pnimim v'yisbalbel silchlo v'lo yered la'amitas ha'dvarim la'amkan. So he says that if I'm trying to learn and I don't put my full concentration into what I'm learning, you're gonna fail.
It's not done.
It's
learning.
You don't have to take breaks in between?
Maybe not. Right? If I'm actively learning, and I have, let's put it this way, and I have the capability to stay concentrated, right? To say, stay there. I'm not talking about I've been learning for 6 hours and I have to go to the bathroom, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I'm sitting for 5 minutes, right? I've been sitting for 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, I get distracted. Ooh, it's just a beautiful tree. Ooh, I gotta check my messages. Ooh, I gotta check my email. Forget about Mischayev Benafsho. How is your learning when that happens? It stinks. It's bad, right? We're distracted, right? I deal with students all the time coming in. I can't concentrate. I have to study. I can't concentrate.
It's in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, you have all kinds.
Right. So what do you do when people can't concentrate? So now you have to assess, is there some sort of disorder of some sort? But the first thing you have to do, I ask, where is your phone when you're trying to study? Right? If it's right in front of you and you keep checking, you have no shot at paying attention. Right? So the message here is, as a starting point, limit your distractions, because if you're distracted, you will not be able to learn properly. You're not going to understand it, right? Some people, they come to a shir, they come to something, whatever, and they have their phones out, and they can't follow. Well, why can't you follow? Now, maybe it's too hard, maybe it's whatever, but if your phone's out, then you can't prove to me you can't follow, right? If you put, okay, that's, again, everybody has different levels of ability to concentrate and input, so this is not an individualized message here. But as a general message, the idea is you have to limit the amounts of distractions. And when we're distracted, we're not going to learn well. We're not going to understand what we're doing. We're not going to remember. We have no shot. So limit the amount of distractions. That's his message. And we're learning Torah. You want to understand what you're doing. You got to focus. So don't get distracted. Try as hard as you can to keep focused. Yeah.
I find this a really uplifting message, because I know that in today's world, everybody talks about the difficulty of focusing because there's so many distractions. Well, apparently they had the same problem 2,000 years ago. They watched on TV, radio, telephone.
Right. This is. Right, so this the Meiri said, this wasn't 2,000 years ago, it was 500 years ago, 600 years ago. It's human nature, is that we get distracted, right? We get easily distracted. It's very hard to focus. Now it's even harder to focus, Right? So we have to do as much as we can that in those times where we are supposed to focus, and we're trying to focus, and we're trying to study, and we're trying to learn, limit the amount of distractions as much as possible. We all have lives, we're all adults, we all know what we got to do, but to our own, for our own purposes, to figure out, where can I improve on this? Where can I improve on this? Yeah?
Just a great quote, that one of my favorites, by C.S. Eliot from Four Quartets. Ready? We are distracted by distraction from distraction.
Okay. There you go. It's there. We are distracted. Okay, now, next. Keep going. We're up to now his third paragraph in source number 4, where it's underlined Rav Moshe al-Shakar. So Rav Moshe al-Shakar perish. Umafsik mimishnaso v'omer ma na ilan zeh. Hishmianu shafilu shis asik b'davar shesh bo k'tsas mitzvah. He phrases it a little bit in terms of the nature question. Even though you're doing something that has a little bit of a mitzvah involved. Amru Rabbeinu Zichronam Levracha, Hayotze b'mei Nisan v'roi ilanos tovos omer baruch shekach lo ba'olamo. Because there's a mitzvah that you're going out in April and you see beautiful trees, you're supposed to say a bracha. So there is a mitzvah. Im kol zeh im hifsik mimishnaso hu ki'ilu mishayev b'napsho. If you learn, even though it's a nice thing you're doing, it's still like your Mitzchai B'Napsho, Shalimud Torah Keneged Kulam. It's a matter of priorities. Right? It's a matter of priorities. That's important. That's an important mitzvah. And sometimes this is another thing we all have to, in theory, work on, because we're not always good at this, is what's the most important thing that I have to do right now? We get stuck by urgent things. We get stuck by things that take up our time, even if they're not just inherent distractions. We have inherent distractions that are meaningless. But now it's not just meaningless distractions. These are important distractions. But they're still distractions if you have a different priority. So we have to know what our number one priority is. And anything else that seems to be important, and might even be important, if I'm doing my number one priority, stick with the number one priority. Don't get distracted by number twos and threes and fours and fives. Okay, so this is a more powerful message.
When do those other priorities become the
priorities? When you finish learning.
Is there ever a time to finish learning?
Yes, realistically, yes, there is. There's a time and a place for everything. Our priority number one number one priority here is learning. That's what they're saying, is learning. But, again, I have to do other things. If it's important, then I have to, let's say I have to go to, I have to go to work. I'm at work, whatever you're doing, okay, then you see a nice tree, right? That say a bracha. But if I'm learning, don't stop your number one priority to go to a number two priority, unless sometimes learning isn't your number one priority. Right? There are times where I have to do something else that then becomes my number one priority, at least in terms of its immediate context, right? So I have to go to Davin. I have to go to work. I have to go take care of my kids. Okay, then your priorities shift. Okay, and then once the priorities shift, so you can start incorporating these other things. But when I'm learning,
when that is your number one priority, that's what you shouldn't let anything distract.
That's his message, and I think that is true. Yeah.
What if learning creates a danger to your life and well-being?
Right. So if there's a point where you're learning and you're not earning any money and therefore you're dying of starvation, then you have messed up your priorities, right? So that's a broader question. But the idea here is that when I'm learning, and assuming all other things being equal, that I'm not dying, my kids aren't dying, nobody else is dying, and we're all happy or whatever, that I don't stop learning for other things. Okay? Quickly.
Just a comment.
Yeah.
A point of balance and perspective. Isn't there a pasuk somewhere, and I know there was one Rav somewhere, that felt that he had to go visit different parts of the world to say man nifla.
Yeah. Right, so that was Rav Shishraal Hirsch. He went to go to the Swiss Alps. And right? So, yes, good. So
we're talking about perspective and timing.
Right, so it's timing. So that was during his vacation, right? Right, that was during his vacation. That's when he went to go do it. That's exactly the point. There's a place for it, but he didn't stop his, shear in the middle to go say, look at the Swiss Alps.
So my point really is, there is a place in life to go and say, mana flows.
Right, 100%.
Everything that I should
say. 100%, yeah. Okay, so hold on, let's go. We're... a few more points, and then we'll frame it all together and take comments. Look at the next paragraph here. Rav Moshe Almosenino. Shekavanas Rabbi Yaakov Hu. Somebody who is walking on the road and he's learning Torah, he's alone, he's isolated. Notice that's the point. Before I finish what I'm doing, I didn't finish this concept. I'm in the middle of a concept. I'm in the middle of a paragraph. I'm in the middle of an idea, and I didn't fully develop it yet. I share who my eye in both, the thing that I'm looking at, I'm focusing on, mafsik umidavar dvar b'teilim, and then I start doing something else, that's a real problem. So notice how he frames this. It's a matter of not just not learning, it's a matter of learning a concept. Right? So I'm in the middle, I'm delving deep into an idea, I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to understand it. Stop in the middle to focus on something else. Well, guess what? You're going to lose it. You're not going to understand it fully. Right, so here the idea is not learning is important. It is a message about learning. But it's not just a message about learning as much as you possibly can and not stopping to learn. It's a message about getting distracted from a concept while you are learning. V'omar umapsik, v'omar ma na ilan zeh, lashmienu sh'shtayim ra'os asa zeh. He did two things wrong. What were the two things he did wrong? Sh'mitchila hipsik machshavaso v'istaka b'chasha b'ilan o'benir. First, he distracted himself in thought. And if he just did that, if he just distracted himself of thought, would have been a problem. So he says that again. If I get distracted in thought, that's bad, but it's not terrible. What? Because sometimes we get distracted. I think this is a beautiful point. Sometimes we can't even control our distractions. Right? We're not always in control of our mind. We don't always have the ability to focus and be hyper-focused. And sometimes thoughts just pop into our head. Sometimes things just catch our eye from the back. Right? So it's bad, but it's not terrible. But then what did you do? You expressed it. You verbalized it. And you said, you verbalized it. You verbalized what came into your head. You've officially made it into this, you know, physical act. That's terrible. That's really bad. Right? So you can think about it. Think about it. It's bad, you're distracted, but again, we can't control our brains all the time. But control your mouth, right? Don't verbalize it. Stop yourself. Realize, oh, I'm getting distracted, let me refocus. Let me refocus. But the second you then said, oh, I gotta say this, that's where the second problem is. Okay, so that's how he reads it, and I think that's also comforting to some extent, because nobody's fully in control of their mind. Everybody gets distracted.
That's why you go with Lashon Hara. Think it's one thing, but once it comes out of your mouth, then it becomes a whole.
Right, it's a whole other thing. So the self-control, if you will, is to focus on the control, not necessarily of thought, which is important. We have to try that. But more important is the self-control of expressing it. Mm-hmm. Think it, but stop yourself. Right, so, you know, we all know, like, you're in a classroom, and there's a difference between somebody who's distracted and somebody who then verbalizes that distraction to everybody else, and that becomes a lot harder to, you know, for everybody else to concentrate also. But that's not even his point. His point is that once that person verbalizes it, even for himself, now he's off. He's going to be much harder to refocus. Okay, so now let's do the last two sources, and then we'll pause for questions, and we'll reframe and then pause for questions. The source number five is a total reread of the Mishnah that I think is still important for our own learning and distractibility, and that is the Sfas Emes. As we've done in the past, the Hasidish Rebbeim, when they learn Pirkei Avos, tend to rework the Mishnayos in ways that are not the what we would call pshat of the Mishnah, the simple explanation of the Mishnah. They rework the Mishnah in some sort of creative fashion to teach a different lesson, whose lesson could be true, but probably not what the Mishnah meant originally. But this one's pretty fascinating. He says here, source number five, Perish, Shibitoch Yigi'aso Margish Hisnasus Binafsho. when I'm learning, right? What distraction does he have? Not that there's a tree there that's so beautiful. I'm so beautiful. I'm so great. I'm so amazing. Look at me. I'm learning so great. V'zeh hefsek b'limudo. And that's what I'm getting distracted by. Because I'm thinking, wow, I just learned an hour straight. Look how great I am. I deserve a sticker, right? Shayadezeh ein ma'asav olin. V'od mosav. So first of all, what you're doing is not that great anymore. V'od mosav alav kategor mischayev midabshav. And then you're adding these bad midos, if you will, this gaiva, this haughtiness, this arrogance, this self-congratulatory behavior is actually now going against you. Uvashem harav kadosh mipshischa. So he says, Amasha kasu betana de beliyah v'yosha behoge betorah kebehema haroshes besada. What should be my mindset when I'm learning Torah? You're like an animal. You're an animal who is plowing the field. What does that mean? Why is that the metaphor here? Perish she'ena behema mashgachas lirosim yafa asta. The animal's not stopping to pause. Ooh, look, I just did a beautiful... that I drew in the lines over here when I was plowing, right? He's not stopping to evaluate whether or not he's doing a good job or not. What is he doing? He continues. Does what his master tells him to do. I'm doing it for the sake of God. I'm not doing this to think how great I am. Now, I don't think he means that I can't pause and stop to think, am I learning well, right? In the sense of, let's say I'm learning inefficiently, right? So part of our metacognitive processes, the way we, you know, we regulate ourselves, say like, okay, I'm not actually learning well right now. I have to learn better. I have to focus on what I'm doing better. That's okay. What he's saying is once you get to that evaluation of yourself to think how great I am because I'm learning, that's a distraction. That's your mafsik b'mishnaso. Ma na ilon zeh. Ilon here is a metaphor for man, right? How great am I that I'm learning? And that's what's mafsik, and that's really bad. Okay, so my mindset when I'm learning is Hashem commanded me to learn. Right? Do you remember a different mission in Perkei Avos we had that says this similar message? That the pshat is a similar message. Pshat is a similar message. Let's get those brains cooking. No, we got it. I see some people thinking. What do we got?
No, it's not the same.
Give you a hint. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay, so he had five students. Remember, we went through all the five students. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai himself taught us something. And one of the things that he taught us was, Im lamata Torah harbe, al tachzik tov la'atzmacha. If you learned a lot of Torah, don't self-congratulate yourself. Don't say how great I am. Kilakach no tzarta. That's your job. So that's how the Sfas Emes is learning this Mishnah. Don't congratulate yourself. And that's a distraction. That thought of how great I am is a break in your learning. Just learn. Stop worrying about whether or not you're going to get praise or not. Yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, when an animal plows the field or when a horse, what does the owner put on? He puts blinders on the side.
So put blinders on. Great. That gets back. That's good. That gets back to one of the points we made before. We'll just highlight again. Is that when we learn, I firmly believe to the best of our ability, we should destroy any possible distractions that we have from around us to the extent that's responsible. Right? You don't want to put anybody in danger or whatever. But you turn off your phone, turn off your computer, put it in a different room, put it in a different place. There's no emergency unless you're a doctor. Like, people will survive without getting back. You know, when we're watching our TV shows, we can turn off our phone and I'll get back to you in 45 minutes. But, well, you know, otherwise I need my phone on me 24/7. No, put off your phone, put everything away.
The animals don't say anything.
Right? Okay. All right, so that's the Sfas Emes. Now, last point here, Rav Cook, I think, a quote here from Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. We're going to go back to the concept of nature. So we've been back and forth into the two running themes, one in terms of how do we view nature, and the other in terms of our ability to concentrate and to focus. And we'll end with a framing of the concept of nature. At the very least, when we read our Mishnah, the Mishnah can be used as a proof by some that the Torah doesn't care about nature. I think it's a misread, and we'll make that argument in a second. But there were those, Rav Cook here is Rav Sihu, the cook, they're going to quote here from the Pirkei Avos I showed you before, the Pirkei Avos book I have from the school of Rav Cook. They're going to quote in a second that there were these apikorsim, there were actually some early Zionists who were anti-religious, and part of their polemic against the religionists were, you don't care about nature. Right here, we have to work the land, we have to plow the fields, we have to do all this, and all these rabbis, they don't care about nature. And look at this Mishnah. This Mishnah says, nature stinks. Nature is bad. Right? No, but we appreciate, we love, we, you know, work the fields, etc. So now, Rav Cook is going to mention them in a second, and he's going to take our Mishnah. So far we've had, you could read it anti-nature, although we haven't seen anybody literally read it anti-nature. At the very least, we've had the Meiri, who was nature neutral. Right? It's just like any distraction. Then we've had the Bar Tanura who said nature is nice, but against Torah it's still a distraction. And from what we've seen, that was sort of the main, I think the majority of the opinions we've seen is that that was the message. Nature could be great, nature is nice, but in comparison to learning Torah, we can't stop learning to appreciate nature. Did anybody say nature is like awesome? Right? Nature is on, you know, such a high level. So no. So let's see what Rav Cook has to say about this. So Rav Cook, source number 6, Margo Bapuma de Marana Gaona Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Cohen Cooks, this is Rav Cook's son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, used to say as follows, Levar divra mishna azu kach, Dilavad meha pshat hayadua, Shemidubar beholach bederach b'shona shemafsik mitamudo, beholach letayol, beinot hapardesim veganot. So besides for the regular pshat, the simple explanation of the Mishnah, that we're talking about somebody who is stopping from his learning in order to appreciate all of these gardens, etc. Vizoneach ha'ikar, and you're sort of spitting on, throwing away what's more important, the Torah. So besides for that explanation, yeshna gam kavana amuka acheras. There's another deep understanding here. Shamistakel al olamo shel hakadosh baruch hu shibara. Somebody who looks at the world that God created, b'minutak mimishnaso, as being separate from his learning, as being somebody who looks at them as separate entities. There's Torah, and then you're mafsik mimishnaso. Pause. Break. Full sentence. Stop. Oh, what a beautiful tree. That's the problem. V'omer ma na ilan zeh. Lo mitoch kesher l'Torah. Not because he's saying, oh, that tree reminds me of Torah. That tree is beautiful. God created it. And now I'm going to learn something from that tree. No. Elo mitoch hefsek. I think they're two separate entities. U'mimafsik mimishnaso. Sheminatek bein b'yiras ha'olam l'Torah Hashem. We think it's different, the Torah and God's world. We think those are two separate entities. That's the problem. Harezem is chayev b'nafsho. That person is chayev of death. Ki ilan na'azeh humimasa Hashem u'briyaso ilanos tovim lahanos behem b'nei Adam. God created this in order for us to get benefit from it. U'mehem yagia la'avas Hashem yisparach k'divei Rambam. And it's through this nature that we can get to the love of God. V'lo behefsek u'v'menutak mitor. It's not separate from Torah. Elo mitoch hashkafas haTorah. It's from Torah. It's from the outlook of Torah that I say, how beautiful is this tree? How beautiful is this field? So now he totally flips it. Right? This is the most positive you're going to hear about how nature is. It's that it's a problem if you separate it. Look at the tree. Praise the tree as part of Torah. It's not the key, the operative word here is umafsik. You're pausing. So if you would have said ha holach baderach b'shona ve'omer ma na ilan zeh, it's beautiful. You're learning and you're saying how beautiful the tree is. Your problem is that in your mind they're two separate things. It's a mafsik. It's separate. They're not. It's the same. Okay, so this is totally the opposite of what we said until this point. But I think a beautiful message I think that some of us resonate with. Now, notice how he said that the pshat of the Mishnah, what's the pshat of...
What does it do with that word?
Mafsik is in your brain, it's mafsik.
What does
how does he determine? It said in the Mishnah, Mafsik. How does he? What does he? I know. I understand fully what he said. How does he explain the fact that it says Mafsik here?
That's what makes you Mefayev enough. The Mafsik means that you see those two separate entities, not so.
Mafsik is proving that they're two separate things for you.
So he's telling you how to get around it, but that's
you
what
don't be Mafsik.
It's not Mafsik. In your head, it's one big happy family. Yeah.
So he's telling you. So you defined it in a different way.
Yeah.
But the complete opposite way, right? So now remember the pshat he says is still the pshat. The pshat is when I'm learning, I have to prioritize learning and try not to be distracted.
So if you were walking along and learning, and while you were learning, you were not mosque, and you actually said, I'm learning about the oxen and whatever, and the tree is part of this world of the wonderful things about Hashem, and you didn't really make the separation, it'd be okay.
Right. According to his non-pshat explanation,
yeah, but
yes.
Is still there. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I understand what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah. But he defines it, which makes sense. Well, everybody loves that definition. The rest is best part. But still, the word in the Mishnah, mafsik. So he's defining it.
Yeah, he's saying mafsik different than we've understood mafsik until now. Yeah.
I think he's saying everything is integrated as opposed to.
That's his point, right? That's his point. Exactly. Okay. And now, just to get it back to the Zionists here, the last paragraph, and then we'll stop. Madgish Rabbeinu Zatzal Shabishorish Divrei Sifruta Ivrit Haapikorsis. So in this literature of heretics, Haisat Timuna Hataina Ki Ayadus Monasis Yehudi Meis Anius Beteva. So that there's this the heretics say that Judaism prevents Jews from appreciating nature. V'zu apikorsus shel mevulbalim. It's not true. Hamevulbalim machtim acharim. They're trying to mess us up. They're trying to make us look bad. Ki be'emes hashkafas and it's false. Ki be'emes hashkafas hayadus hena legalus es noi v'erchos shalom hazeh. The purpose of Judaism is for us to appreciate the beauty of this world. Lefi erech ha'giloi ha'nitzchi ve'elokei shel ha'chayim. Lefi giloi erech olam haba kan bo'olam hazeh. It's for us to appreciate nature, and that's how we relate to God. Right? And then you can quote all the psukim in Tehillim that show this and that prove this, and it's great, and it's beautiful, and it's a nice message. In terms of big picture, I think the main idea of the Mishnah is stay focused, remove as many distractions as possible when it comes to learning. Inherent in the Mishnah also is learn as much as you can, even when you're on the derech, and even try to stay focused.
And then the
message at the end is connect everything to learning. Although I do think the main message is still keep your priorities. Learning Torah is top, and then everything else, even if it's a mitzvah, even if it's important, shouldn't be a mafsik. Shouldn't distract us from what's important. If we can integrate it, great. But it shouldn't be a distraction. Question? Yeah.
Again, we have this issue of taking the Gashmi, the physical, and elevating it. Mm-hmm. It's just the same as everything else we've done in detail, that elevating the physical world to be part of the spiritual world. Don't just look at the world as it is, look at the world and wondering that Hashem created it.
It's definitely one message. But again, I want to be clear, even though we're ending with the Rav Kook and it's a feel-good message for those who love nature, it's really not the main message of the Mishnah, right? The main message of the Mishnah is Torah is priority, Torah is number one, learn as much Torah as possible. Yes, appreciate nature, but Torah is on top, and try not to get distracted. And when we're learning, focus, don't get easily distracted. Yeah?
Grammatically, it's a scroll. It's not walking. So that already, the person is going out to stroll. He's not really going out to learn. I think perhaps that's the issue here, that you're out for a stroll, and you're, in other words, you're already distracted from your learning, and so you're learning something, but the whole idea after Mehalech is a distraction, and so I think that's the interest. It's not changing anything that you said,
right.
But I think that verb is already elucidating that his initial motivation was a stroll,
so
not to learn.
If that's true, Which I think we'd have to check with the Mishnaic Hebrew if it fits, not just, you know, biblical Hebrew or whatever. What? Okay, so do it. And then if that's true, then the message is even more extreme.
Right.
So I'm going to take a stroll, but I still have to be learning and not get distracted. Right? That would be the...
If you're going out for the stroll, you're really not going out to learn. So in other words, this learning is a totally distracted learning.
Right, but then the message of the Mishnah, then read that back into the Mishnah. So I'm going in a distracted learning, and even though I'm distracted, I say how beautiful is this tree, it's Mishaya Benafsho.
Right.
So that would be an intense thing to say. That I'm going to relax, I still have to learn, and if I get distracted, it's like I'm dead. Right? So I would say just check it up.
And the second point is yeah. Just you asked me in the very beginning when I said that nature could be Avodah Zarah, so what would it be today? It's exactly what Rafuk is saying, making a bifurcation between your Eminah and the outside creation. And what our Avodah Zarah here perhaps today would be is not seeing the world as a unified Maaseh HaElokim, the hand of God, but rather saying, well, this is this and this is this, separating the two.
Right. So there's a broader discussion which we didn't get into, and I don't think we're going to, in terms of this whole concept of how do we view nature and the Avodah Zarah and pantheism and panentheism, and there's all these fancy terms. I gave a shiur about this topic, broader topic, probably around 6 or 7 years ago, at a lunch and learn. It's on YU Torah, so if you want to listen to it, it's called Torah and Nature, an Organic Fit. So that's the. It's on YU Torah, and we spent a few minutes on this Mishnah, but the broader theme was how the Torah relates to nature in terms of the Avodah Zarah. Can nature become Avodah Zarah? And there's a big debate about it, so